Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is Attorney Penny Dean.
And you can call in to ask a question of Attorney Penny Dean at 1-866-823-1077 for Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooks It right here on Bulldog Live.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
And that's Steve Voss with Come and Take It, and here's Penny Dean daring you to do just that. Hi, Penny. Good morning.
I'm telling you, what a beautiful day it is, isn't it?
Oh, it's a good day for freedom.
Yeah, we have power. Power's always a good thing, right?
That too. Well, yeah. When it's working, sure.
That's exactly it. Darn it when it isn't working.
And that's what a lot of people are saying in Manchester and Milford and right on down through the Monadnock region. Oh, yes, I know. They're frustrated. I understand why.
Yeah. So anyway, but we have good things coming up. I'm thinking of spring, particularly April.
So are a lot of people.
And so that's exactly right. And since everyone's thinking about spring, I'm thinking you should make your spring plans now.
Okay.
And April 20th, April 21st, and April 22nd at Pelham Fish and Game, they're having the 5th annual summit meeting. And the Summit 2012 is actually pretty cool. I attended Summit 2011. And what it allows you to do is, I call it like a smorgasbord or a variety. They have all these different instructors that offer all these different areas of expertise, and you can just pick and choose where you want to go to. They have all day from, like, let's say 8 to 5. They have, for example, they have Southern Arc. They have Rob Pincus, who does combat-focused shooting. They have Michael Janich, who focuses on knives. And let me tell you about Michael Janich, the knife guy. And this was what was really funny, is I said, well, I'm going to take, you know, each course as I have time and go in and set for one and see what I get out of it. And Janich, you know, when they say he teaches knives, technically that's true, but he teaches much, much more than knives. He teaches situational awareness. He teaches how you use certain knives. He shows you the good knives versus the bad knives. He gives you all sorts of options about how you can choose a knife, how you can use a knife, but how you position your body. And there's just a lot of other tactical things that are taught. There's a man named Claude Werner who teaches subguns. Paul Gomez teaches a variety of tactics. And William April, who also teaches you to identify what's called violent actors. But the one that I miss that I really, really want to attend is Bill Lewitt, which is tactical medicine.
Okay.
And he teaches people, and I guess they use, how we say it, dead pigs, okay, to show people about parts of the human anatomy. But here's what's really important. Think if you and your wife are out in a shopping mall, right, and there's a horrible situation where you have to defend yourself. You might very well, or your wife might very well, be shot, right? Well, the question is, in that type of chaos and situation, you want to be able to at least do some type of first aid in that type of situation before the first responders, or until the first responders get there.
Hmm.
And so think about it, and they tell you things that you can carry with you, little things like everything else that can really be lifesavers.
How about that?
And they teach you how to use, let's say you don't have any type of equipment with you, they teach you how to use shoelaces, how to use whatever the heck you have to make do. And it sometimes makes the difference between life and death. And so it's really, really a worthwhile thing. And they basically have, the cost is $300. Members of Go NH, Goal, and New Hampshire Firearms, or two or more people signing up at the same time, the cost is $270. And for that many day course, I can tell you that it's actually dirt cheap.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really dirt cheap because that's 3 days. And the bottom line is there's just a huge amount of knowledge gained. and that type of thing. The trainers there are first notch, and you do a lot of what I call practical exercises. It's not just classroom lectures. You go through arming and disarming techniques, you know, with the rubber knives and all those type of things, and you really learn techniques that are pretty great that can be used anywhere.
How about that?
Yeah. So I'm hoping to attend this year. Well, actually, I think I've been told that Marty Hayes is going to be there, and he and I are going to do a legal portion. Like everything else, they'll tell me what to do when I get there. You know, they'll tell me what to do when I get there. I know what to do. Just tell me where to go and you know how long you want it. But they're really thinking more and more. In addition to the tactical training, a lot of more places are getting to the idea that you really need to teach people how to survive the legal aftermath, which is sometimes more difficult than the tactical part.
Hmm.
You know, so that's something.
Well, there's always that fear of being sued. There's the dealing with the investigators at the crime scene, you know, and the like. So, absolutely.
And I think the other thing that we really have to be afraid of, at least in this state, I'm sure, you know, everyone remembers us talking about SB 88, which is now, I believe, law, or will be in the next couple days. SB 88 that the governor vetoed and that was overrode by the House and the Senate.
Yep.
And what we have to be very concerned about, and I've emailed all these to you in case you want to put them on your website, is that the attorney generals in this state, or I'm sorry, the county attorneys in this state, rather, opposed your right to self-defense. And they wrote, when I say they, Peter Heed, as a representative of the attorney generals, wrote a letter telling the asking the representatives and the senators not to override the governor's veto, telling them that that was a bad law.
Right.
And I was quite saddened by that, because that really tells me that most of them still want the police to have incredible discretion, and they really, in many ways, oppose your right to self-defense. And I think that we in New Hampshire have to take those letters to heart and be concerned.
And so what you did, you filed a 91A, otherwise known as a right-to-know request, of each of the county attorneys.
Absolutely. I sent them to each one of the county attorneys and asked them. And there's a couple of county attorneys, which I'll let people look them over, which in my mind gave me what I call a disingenuous answer, the type of answer that you, if you were in court, a judge would give you the hairy eyebrow and raise his eyebrows and go, not a good answer. And that one of them said, look, we didn't do anything. In other words, we didn't write anything. However, Peter Heed, on behalf of the county attorneys, did write a letter. Well, that doesn't answer my question. Were you one of the county attorneys that supported that letter? You know, he said he's writing on behalf of the county attorneys. Does that mean that it was a majority vote? Does that mean that you disagreed? Because the two county attorneys that answered me that way really concerned me. I can stand.
Well, can I ask you this question? Because you forwarded me a number of the responses that you have received from Grafton County, Coos County, Carroll County, Stratford. I don't see Merrimack in this, nor Hillsborough yet.
Right. I am waiting for a couple of answers yet. I'm waiting. I think there is Merrimack. Maybe I don't have Merrimack sent to you. Or Hillsborough. I don't believe I've received Hillsborough, but let me tell you actually what concerned me.
But, well, actually, could you also send me a copy of your letter to them, too?
I did.
Okay, I'll have to look for that.
No, I sent it to you today.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look for that.
Yes. I absolutely did. I sent you a copy of the letter I sent to every one of them because it was the identical letter other than I changed their name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was the Word document that you sent me. Okay.
Yep, that's exactly
I can't
it.
Open it on this computer, but I can at home.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. I can still open it. I just can't do it at where I am sitting at this exact moment. So that's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yep. So that's exactly right. I sent every county attorney in the state the identical letter asking for the identical information. And it really bothers me when we receive letters that basically say, for example, let me pull this one up, the Rockingham County attorney. The Rockingham County attorney said, this letter is in response to your request to obtain records from this office. You specifically requested any communication in any form from the county attorney or this office to the general court regarding SB 88. I have been unable to locate any records that fit that description. The county attorney confirmed that he did not send any such communications. It is my understanding that the Cheshire County Attorney, Peter Heed, acting on behalf of the County Attorneys Association, sent a letter to the General Court regarding Senate Bill 88. If I can be of further assistance, please don't hesitate to contact me, Thomas F. Reed, Deputy County Attorney. And so I have since sent another letter to them saying, basically, that's really nice, but you didn't answer my question. Does the county attorney, which is Jim Reams, did he support that letter from Peter Heath?
Mm.
Because do you see that this is being a non-answer that would allow him to flip either way?
Sure.
You know, and that's not really...
So I guess what you're trying to show is that even with the SB 88 override, you know, that they overrode the governor's veto and it will be taking effect in a short period of time, you know, when people do find themselves in a self-defense situation, they need to be careful because... Just because the county attorneys opposed this, and you might be questioning that they will still be trying to scrutinize people, or
absolutely.
What?
I think that's a concern.
Okay,
I think that's a very real concern. When, for example, there are some sheriffs in the country who say to their citizens, "You better arm yourself because I can't get there quick enough." Okay, and those are what I call the realistic sheriffs. You know,
I've got audio of one actually.
Yeah. And
I want to share it with you before we let you go today, but go ahead, continue.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's really important, as opposed to we have county attorneys in this state who act like that we're going to have shootouts in the street and the drug dealers are going to get away with murder and, you know, all these.
Yeah, the governor kind of promoted that one, yes.
Right, and something I don't necessarily agree with that position. And so, you know, they've made a big deal about the fact that...
Right, because it doesn't give people a right to shoot anybody for any reason. It merely removes the duty to retreat in a violent situation. Does not expand your ability to use deadly force in public. All those restrictions still apply.
Absolutely. And people have made much of the fact that this person who could have been charged with murder was acquitted, you know, they had to let go in Florida. Well, I think what people are missing is... It was probably a clean shoot. In other words, in the quote-unquote old days before the protective legislation passed, their county attorneys would have charged him with that. And so all you armed citizens in New Hampshire, listen up. That could happen to you.
Well, just remember, anybody can charge anybody for anything.
Right, exactly.
It's what does the
no,
evidence show
can.
At the end of the day.
That's exactly right. And here's the only thing that we always have to be concerned about. This destroys people's lives. It destroys their family. It costs them their job sometimes.
Yep.
You know, these are huge things. You know, where do they go to get their reputation and their job back?
Exactly. Well, Penny Dean joining us here on Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can find them at 1575 Hooksett Road. That is the Daniel Webster Highway in Hooksett. 485-5000 and also Riley'sGuns.com, the largest selection of firearms available in the state. It's a big, well, for some people, a big toy store.
It is a big toy store.
But you mentioned about how some sheriffs are telling people to arm themselves. Sheriff Chuck Wright from Spartanburg County, South Carolina, was giving a press conference recently about a woman who had been raped in a park or at least attempted rape, I believe it was. Yeah, he tried to rape her, but he did rip off her clothing. And a guy with a very long criminal history, by the way. And the sheriff was just simply frustrated. This guy has been in and out of jail so many times. And here's this woman, totally defenseless, not able to defend herself. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
And I don't want to make this into just a crime against a woman. This is a crime this is a horrific crime. And this lady's life was threatened so many times during this act. You know, it's almost too bad that somebody with a concealed weapons permit didn't walk by and hear the cries. That would fix it. That would have fixed this. If we don't do something in our society to change the way our justice system is not working, that's about what you're going to start having.
So, and that wasn't the only time he made a reference to that. and this is true. We are even law enforcement officials, and particularly sheriffs, are seeing a breakdown in law and order, and they're telling people, arm yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, the bottom line is that, you know, you really have to be responsible to protect yourself. And I tell the people that need to most be responsible, our grandparents and parents, because you really have a responsibility to protect those children.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, you know, you can't fight a pack or a mob of crazy people.
Here's something else. I had a great conversation with a nice couple last week at a fundraising dinner for a local snowmobile club. And the subject of firearms came up, and the topic of pistol licenses. And I said, you know what? A police officer told us one time in a class. They said everybody should get their pistol license. Whether you intend to carry or not, you should have it, because it takes up to 2 weeks to get one of those things. If you're threatened, you want the ability to be able to carry to protect yourself, because you never know when that's going to happen. And she just looked at me, her eyes opened up, and I said, yep. So there. Well, with that, Penny, we have to run. Time flies when we're having fun, unfortunately. But how do people get in touch with you?
230-9999.
230-9999, Penny at PennyDean.com. So again, thank you to Riley Sports Shop for making this segment possible.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Yep.